And welcome to the first meeting of the House Water and Fish Committee. It'll be a fishy committee. It is, in addition to the water issue, it is my understanding that this committee will also carry on as the committee that was previously referred to as the Stream and Restoration Committee, or SR2 Committee, or SR2 Committee for those of us who preferred the more mathematical definition of it. And with this, this is merely an organizational meeting this morning, and also an introductory meeting, and for purposes we need to start out with, opening a work session on the committee rules.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the committee rules.
If you could, Representative Cruz, give us a half a second. We would like to amend the committee rules.
Cool.
And you have in front of you, or you should have, a draft on committee rules that says House and Environment, or Environment and something or another.
Okay.
And we would appreciate that that is inappropriate language there, but it would be water, House Committee on Water, and you could pencil that in if, you know, if you would. We can have these printed up otherwise. The only basic difference that appears as far as the committee rules are concerned is number 7 on the draft. And this says that the chair or vice chair, under the direction of the chair, shall have the option of administering an affirmation to any witness appearing before the committee. The affirmation shall read, under penalty of perjury and any other penalty that the House of Representatives may impose, do you promise that the testimony you give in this committee's public hearing today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? This is a proposed amendment by the chair. This point, I would open any discussion, criticism, comments, or motions that might be appropriate.
Mr. Chair, maybe I would move adoption of the proposed draft rules, and then we can discuss that amendment when we have a motion on the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Representative Cruz. It has been moved by Representative Cruz to approve the draft rules as amended, as proposed to be amended. And with that, do we have any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Tomei.
I'm sort of taken aback, I guess, and feel like I'm unprepared to respond to this. I guess if I were testifying before this committee and somebody put this to me, I would really be taken aback. I'd like to know why you are proposing this.
I think perhaps if I may, Representative, suggest to the people who testified before the committee the seriousness of the testimony, that we take the testimony they have as being the truth, as to their knowledge at least, the truth. And we make public policy in this building based on the testimony that we receive. I would hope we consider all of the testimony we receive as though it were truth, at least to the best of that person's knowledge. I just think it would eliminate some of the potential for otherwise going off on anecdotal or otherwise unsubstantiated evidence or proof.
Mr. Chair, I just want to follow up with a question about that, because I too am uncomfortable with this language, in that I guess I'm thinking about a citizen that's coming before us to testify, and I would have a concern that this would put those people at an unease, that what, you know, when people come in here, especially citizens, they're nervous to begin with, and I think this is a question of their good faith of coming in and testifying the truth. And now, I don't have years of experience on committees like you do. I haven't seen this on other rules, and I didn't know if it, has this been used in past committees as part of the rules, because I am uncomfortable with this language.
Representative Dingfelder, I think the and the chair appreciates you know, your concern you know, with this, but I think that it is generally a fairly common procedure for people to swear, be sworn in when they give testimony before a governing body. I think in such things as county commissioners meetings, city council meetings, across, and they are making laws and rules too. And as a consequence, it's not something that's unprecedented in the process.
May I, if I may follow up on that, Mr. Chair? As you know, I was the mayor of a city, and before that I was chair of the Planning Commission. And I guess we depended on people to tell their story accurately. But I don't remember ever this kind of statement being read. And I guess I agree with Representative Dingfelder. I think that if I were a citizen, I would be so afraid to say anything, because it might, as you mentioned, it might be an anecdote. There might be something that is unsubstantiated or unclear. And I would be loath if I were a citizen. I would be loath if I were anyone testifying under these circumstances. I think if it's done in a court of law, right, we have an attorney that we can discuss our testimony with to make sure that it meets these standards. But I guess when, you know, especially when we're getting testimony from citizens, it just makes me very uncomfortable.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I think we have the ability to swear witnesses whether it's in our rules or not. So this is more a statement. Secondly, this is optional. Not every witness has to be sworn, and I think if you it's at the discretion of the vice chairs and the chair, and I, for one, as a chair of a committee, are going to be very selective in who I would make this requirement on. And clearly, if, you know, in human services, if I got local providers or people on programs coming in and they're telling their story, my purpose there is to make them as comfortable as possible. I wouldn't be using this in those cases. Thirdly, in my time in the building, we have had folks from state agencies come in to testify before us and told us things that weren't true, and I'm not going to cite any specific examples, but this is my fourth session, and I can go back to 97 when I was first here, and those things were happening. I think what this does more than anything is send a clear signal, and the signal, I think, is designed for the people that are part of the process more than the public. We are in extraordinary circumstances here this session. And there is going to be a lot of very contentious, very hotly contested things we're going to be dealing with. You know, like I said, the chair could do this without this being in the rules. I just think by putting this in the rules, the signal it sends to the folks that we work with on a regular basis, the agency folks, that we're going to be very serious about this, and maybe they will be a little more careful in how they craft their testimony. So with that, Mr. Chair, I will support this addition, because in reality, it doesn't change anything. The chair could do it anyway. This just puts it in the rules so that everybody knows that it's an option.
Representative Clark.
Mr. Chair, I would speak in support of this particular amendment provision, albeit that I am a freshman without years of experience here. I am experienced in the process, and I do understand that it is an oath is a proceeding that can be administered at the discretion of any committee chair. And I think to hold our citizens as well as the experts who provide testimony to any committee accountable to the truth and accuracy of what they provide us is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And I think that we should consider that indeed we are in unique times, and we would like our people to know that we want to hear the truth to the best of their knowledge and as is reflected by their data.
Thank you. Let me pick up just a second on Representative Cruz's comment, and that was the chair and others who were in the building in both 95 and 99 are familiar with testimony that was given before a committee of that dealt with the same issues we're dealing with that was patently false by a major state agency head. The cost to the state of Oregon was several million dollars. And I believe that the people testifying before us, you know, as Representative Cruz was pointing out, need to be kind of made aware of the potential for this action. And it is at the discretion of the chair the way the amendment is proposed. It would not be the intention of the chair to question the public coming in before us. We as elected officials understand that the public come in before us with various attitudes, beliefs, which are theirs and which they are entitled to share with us, whether they are necessarily true or whether they are not necessarily true. But we have others who come before us both as agency heads and people much more familiar with what's going on that are obligated to confine themselves to true statements and true statements only on the testimony. And again, I think Representative Cruz has probably more accurately described my reason for doing this than I have been able to do here, except for the familiarity of having had these issues come up before us in the past.
And if I may make one last statement.
Here,
thank you. I can appreciate that, and that has not been my experience. But I can appreciate it that it was yours. But I guess if you are asking someone to make this affirmation, the implication is that you were a liar, and so we want to make sure that here you don't lie to us. I mean, it seems to me that is some statement about their character and about their testimony. I would be loath to ask someone to affirm this, but that's where I am.
Thank you, Representative.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Representative Crump.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do appreciate Representative Tomei's comments, and I would say that and ask that you would consider this perhaps in a different light, in that in legal proceedings, in a court of law, one is typically sworn in, depositions are sworn in. in some county commissions in Oregon, county commissioners swear in witnesses before they actually testify in front of them, and it includes people of the general public. That is not done broadly, but it is done in some places in Oregon. We are engaged in this process at the level of that our testimony that is provided to this committee is of legal record. And quite often the courts of Oregon and even U.S. Supreme Courts in time past have utilized the testimony that was given at the time, both on the floor in terms of debate and back into committee, as part of the legal record in determining legislative intent. And it is, I think, appropriate that since what we're discussing, the issues that we discuss, are on the legal record and are used by courts to determine legalities of laws, that certain testimony be accurate and factual. And I would ask you to consider it from that respect. I can see how people, especially those individuals coming in from the public, would be perhaps intimidated and perhaps would feel as you are looking at this. It is, and that is why I think it was clear that we stated here that the option of the chair as to whom to apply it to. And I think I would agree with Representative Cruz that it needs to be selectively applied because there is this historical perspective that has occurred, but also for the reason that it's not an accusation of an implication. We're not implying that people would be not truthful with us, but rather that these proceedings are used sometimes to establish law that affects the nation in some aspects. And so we want to be sure that we are accurate. And I think that is why, as I, as a committee chair in my committee, will in fact employ this if it is passed in the rules of my committee for that reason, and not to be used in any way as an intimidation to those members of the public.
Thank you, Elder. That's okay. I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I do this frequently, so please excuse
me. It's okay. I feel like I said, it's a compliment. Mr. Chair, just for the record, I respectfully understand your concerns, but I do feel that this is not a court of law. This is a deliberative policymaking body, and it is an open process. It's one of the most open processes for policymaking in the world, and I do feel that it sends the wrong message. So I will be a no vote on the rules with this amendment. I just want to put that on the record.
Mr. Chair, just one more comment. This is an open body and it's a policy body, but we make law. So to say that we aren't involved in law is somewhat inaccurate. And, you know, I was looking at this from my perspective. If I'm testifying before a committee and I'm there and I'm telling the truth and somebody asks me to affirm that I'm telling the truth, I'm not sure what I'd be offended by. You know, to a degree, it's an affirmation and it's a further validation of what I'm saying. So, you know, the truth is the truth. I'm not sure why anybody would be offended by that affirmation. But with that, I'm ready to vote, Mr. Chair.
I'm ready to vote, too.
Okay, the motion has been made. The clerk will call the roll.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, may I?
Of course.
We're voting on the amendment?
On the amendment.
Thank you.
Well, clarification, aren't we voting on the rules as amended?
We're voting on the rules as amended.
Okay.
Yes, that was the motion.
Representative
Jimenez?
Aye.
Representative
Trueman?
Aye.
Representative
Schaubler?
Aye.
Representative
Tomei?
No.
Representative
Infelder?
No.
Representative Trump?
Yes.
Chair Jensen?
Chair votes aye. Okay, rules have been adopted then at this point, and in something of a gesture of good will and friendship, the chair has ordered coffee for everybody on the committee here. So
we appreciate that, Mr. Chair.
Not that the old leadership didn't eat drink.
At this point, we have finished our only official duty of the day, except we would like to have introductions. And for the introductions, let me start out so that I don't look like I'm picking on anybody again. just a little bit of background on the on Bob Jensen. Career-wise, he really never intended to be a state legislator. Spent my life and career in education, and as a consequence, I never intended to wind up on a water committee, let alone chair of a water committee. Except that when my original intention of not being a state legislator proved to not hold up, and found myself in the building, then I felt somewhat obligated to the issue of water and all of the complications that come with it, because of the vital importance of water in my legislative district. Unlike those of you who live over in the Willamette Valley and you have lots of rain and lots of greenery, I live in a part of the state that has very little rain and not very much greenery, especially this year. We don't have a lot of greenery around. So to adequately represent my district, I felt it was my responsibility to become actively involved and learn more about water and water issues. Subsequently, while there's an awful lot to learn and a lot that I don't know, I have learned more about water than I ever really wanted to know before I did this job. I don't have a lot of burning issues that may appear before this committee, except that I do have the burning desire that we pass out good legislation as it relates to the topics that and areas that we will be dealing with. There are a few bills that I have sponsored or that I've been on workforce and task force that I've sponsored that probably will appear before this committee, and those I probably will have a little more passion about than some of the others, but you know, be that as it may, I will hope to gather greater support for them than I did for the rules.
Well,
it wasn't bad, but it, you know, we'd like to have consensus, and we realize that it's not always possible. It will be the policy of the chair to try to hear every bill that's assigned to the committee. That doesn't mean it'll be the policy of the chair to support every bill that's assigned to the committee. But I believe, as I think both Representative Dingfelder and Representative Tomei have pointed out in our previous discussion about the rules, every citizen, every group has a right to be heard. Their issues have a right to be heard. Doesn't mean they have a right to be passed. But one of the things I would hope that we do and that we are very conscious of in this building is hearing the citizens of the state about their issues and not turning a deaf ear to those issues. So, even if I strongly disagree, it will not be my intention to bury a bill and not hear it. It may be my intention ever to hold a work session on it, and it will be their responsibility to convince me otherwise. But it is my intention to hear every bill that we see come before us and assigned to us. I think I'll stop with that and ask if we would to kind of go down the line and start with Representative Flores and tell us a little bit about what your background is and what your interests are in water and maybe your hopes. And if you have any bills that you are that are burning desires for you in this committee to maybe share that information with us right now.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you all know, I am a freshman to the legislature and am here with great awe and respect for our institution. I will be working to support the fundamental principles of hope that we all do is to restrain the growth of government and to find efficiencies and accountabilities in our government and use that as some sort of grid to assess those things that come before us in any of our capacities. My experience is primarily in legal, as a legal assistant and technician for some total of 24 years. My district does have a significant nursery and agricultural component. And with that, I know that I do have some significant water issues, and I have some nurserymen who will be advocating for in regard to water permitting processes. And so that will be something that I will be hoping to bring to the committee for its favorable consideration. And it's a non-revenue of sorts, I think, impact, I guess, and something that will be working to help some of the cumbersome regulations that the nurserymen face currently. So that is me in a nutshell.
Representative Tolmay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I was on your committee last session, as you, of course, know, and it was not a committee that I requested. I had no interest in SR2 and stream restoration or species recovery, but I learned so much. I became so involved, so invested, and fascinated by the issues that are important to the citizens of the state of Oregon and throughout the country that this was my number one request, and I was so delighted to be on this committee again. As you may remember, I live on the Willamette River in Milwaukee and have for 36 years. And so water, of course, is very important to me. My son fished on the Willamette River as he was growing up and then was a commercial fisherman. He lives in Depot Bay and was a troller for salmon. He no longer is. It's hard to make your living doing that anymore, but that also enabled me to learn more about those issues. So I'm very committed to the citizens of the state of Oregon to do the best job I can. And as Representative Dingfelder said just a little bit ago, and I'm going to take her thunder a little bit here, that whiskey is for drinking and water is to fight over. And I think that is a fascinating idea, and I think it's going to be a huge issue in the state of Oregon from the Klamath County to Washington County and Multnomah County. So I'm looking forward to serving with you, Chair Jensen. I'm sorry we started off on I had to vote against you. That would not have been my first choice. But I look forward to working with you in the next six months.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think I could follow that clip with anything more witty. I don't think I've heard that before. But perhaps is apropos for where we are in Oregon in terms of water policy. I am blessed to be serving and honored to serve in this body for my third term now, and I do consider it an honor because of the gravity of the issues that come before us and what they mean to the future of the state, the people that we serve. And I have to say that I am, having been a farmer, fifth-generation farmer, I say have been because I've stepped back from full-time farming to part-time farming, but I've made my livelihood for many years based on water and the usage of an irrigation of crops. And it is incredibly important to the ability of Oregon to feed people. The farmers like me who take a risk, become small businessmen, and produce food crops, which typically have to be irrigated in this state. And I think it is important that we continue to remember that the proper balance of policy that divides up water and the resources that we have today between the ability to feed people and the ability to provide enough water to keep our fishing industries, sport fishing, commercial fishing, and all of the issues surrounding endangered species and the rulings and the policies from the federal government as to water release and allocation, that all of this be properly balanced. And that's why I am pleased that I'm part of this committee, because my experience and background in using water is such that I'm not only keenly interested in, I think I can add something positive to the process. And so I'm looking forward to the issues, and I think probably the burning issue in my mind right now that needs to be addressed by this committee will be really working with the governor's office and the Department of Water Resources to move forward on a finalization of the Klamath Basin water adjudication process. If there's one issue regarding water that's got to be solved, that's got to come to some balance and agreement with it, is that one. Hopefully we're going to have a good snowpack year so that our friends in Klamath Falls can have enough water for fish and for food. If not, then we have to be able to have a proper dividing of the baby, so to speak, in the wisdom of Solomon. And that includes certainly the tribal rights and their interests. So I think that's the issue that probably will be the greatest importance that we will tackle, in my opinion, for its implications.
Thank you, Mark. Representative Dingfeld.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's an honor to serve on this committee. I do appreciate you making some changes, and I'm very happy to be here and serve with the excellent members that we have here. And I have a background, as you might know, in water resources management. I'm actually, I think, one of the few legislators that have an undergraduate degree in geomorphology, which is a very interesting background, but I have worked on water issues for over 15 years in one way or another. But I am very excited because I've been involved in the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds almost since its inception. I served as a watershed coordinator. As you may remember, I was the first watershed coordinator to testify in front of the SR2 committee many years ago, so I was over there, one of those nervous citizens testifying in front of you. And I remember I was treated with great respect, which I really appreciate. So it's an honor and it's a pleasure to be here. I think I bring some real on-the-ground experience working to restore salmon and watersheds for the past 7 years at the grassroots level, both as a coordinator and also helping build the watershed organizations around the state. I did work as a Soil and Water Conservation District employee, which I'm very proud of, and served on the Healthy Streams Partnership with some of the folks in this room and our committee staff, Mr. Pete Test. So we go way back. I am very interested in making sure that we will continue the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds, because I think we've made some great strides with the grassroots efforts around the state. And there's some excellent projects that have been funded all over Oregon, and I think that's making a real big difference, especially in the southern coast and many areas right now where we're seeing an incredible return of coho, and I think the fruits of our labor are paying off after many years. I'm also concerned about, as similar to Representative Cruz, working towards more water in stream, and I think that is probably going to be one of our top issues in this committee. I am looking towards a real positive working relationship with all members and hoping I can be a productive member of this society and help, or this committee, and help out in any way, and society. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hope this committee doesn't become a society. That would be a little frightening.
as long as we have whiskey, it'll be fine.
Well, that whole whiskey thing confuses me because I don't drink. But
you must remember, though.
Well, I do remember, yes. But the memory, for some reason, about whiskey tends to be vague. This is, I'm trying to remember if you work for East Multnomah.
For Washington County Soil and Water Conservation District.
Was I president of the association when you were working for them, or was did you come after that?
No, it was right after that.
Okay.
Well,
we do have a lot in common. I began with the Oregon Salmon Plan back in 95 when it was being created. And I was on the work group that helped create that thing. And so I've been involved in this thing for a good period of time. For the 20 years before that, I was a member of the Douglas Soil and Water Conservation District and was president of the state association for about 4 years. So, I like to say I was a conservationist before it became the flavor of the month. And I was, interestingly enough, when I came into the legislature in 97, it was kind of assumed that this was going to be my committee. It didn't work out that way. Now I'm doing human resources and health care. And I admire Representative Jensen, or Chair Jensen, for saying he's going to hear all the bills he gets. The first two green sheets, I had 60 bills, so I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that in my committee. But I do remember Representative Jensen was not on the salmon or the water. It was water and environment then. He was not on that committee in 97, but he sat in at every single committee meeting we had. And was really dedicated to it at that, I mean, from day one, and I really admired that from him. I was interested to see what became of Chair Jensen this time, because in 97 he was a Democrat, in 99 he was an independent, and in 2001 he was a Republican, and I was trying to figure out what he became next. And I'm gratified
back to Democrat.
I'm gratified that he stayed Republican. So the big issues for me clearly are the salmon plan is my number one issue. The number one reason that I requested, I made a trade to get on this committee that was hard to make, but these issues are of vital importance to me and my community, and I have some real concerns with the top-down structure that currently exists in OWEB and the structure behind the salmon plan. And while I will agree with Representative Dingfelder that the fish runs are improving, I give most of the credit to God and the conditions in the ocean rather than the things we have done. And I think it's appropriate for us to take a look at the structure of the way we're doing things in the state, not just in this committee but in all committees. Because outside of the policy we do have $1.5 billion to carve out of something. And I'm hoping it's not out of natural resources, which is basically only 2% of the general fund to start with. So we need to be able to defend our turf and do it in a justifiable way. And we need to make sure that the well-intentioned programs that we have in place, and the salmon plan by design was great. It was a bottom-up approach to conservation, and we need to make sure that we are fulfilling that destiny in the plan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the one out of my four choices that I got, and I'm grateful and honored and privileged to be here. I live in Happy Valley. Johnson Creek runs right straight through, almost divides my district. And while I was on city council for 4 years, we talked a lot about watersheds and things of that nature. I was on the Sunrise Water Authority Budget Committee for 2 years as well, and We with the city support, Damascus and Mount Scott water districts merged, so that we had a lot of interesting reading about water and water issues. I think, and we're all seeking a balance. We all eat food that the farmers create and raise with their hard work and labor, yet we all want to keep fish. I love to fish. But the main thing is a human can't go 2 days without water, more than 2 days. And I think this one issue, has a long, colorful history here in Oregon, but I think it's going to become even more, increasingly more important throughout the world, good, clean drinking water, and that's why I wanted to be here. I appreciate the opportunity. That's about it. One more thing on the rules. It's hard to argue with the truth, so, and I hope you do use that selectively. If there's some folk out there telling an anecdote and they're just a citizen, regular citizen like me, I guess, I hope we're not too harsh on them. Don't send a sheriff down the road to put them in irons for perjury. Now, if there's a state employee that comes in here, I was not aware of that situation where they cost them the life. That, I tend to agree that they should come with the facts. I hate to go against my fellow Democrats, but I really, it's hard to argue with the truth.
Thank you, Representative. While there would be no punitive action in this committee if you do that, you understand, and we would forgive you for going against them. Now, whether that would happen when you...
Mr. Chair, if I may add one comment.
Yes.
I'd like to state clearly for the record right now that as I have left full-time farming, I am now employed with a company that offers agricultural products to the farming, agricultural, natural resource community. Occasionally, there will be issues that will come before this committee, of which I intend to declare a potential conflict of interest, as it may affect my company's ability to make a profit.
Thank you. I appreciate the heads up on that, Representative. I do appreciate everybody's interest and concern in water. And I think, and especially this session, I think the importance may get lost a little bit because of some of the other very burning issues that we have in the building. The issues of PERS, the issues of where we get that $1.5 billion. Yes, I would. I'd recommend that we turn that all over to Representative Cruz, and the rest of us wouldn't have to worry about it then, and we could blame him for whatever the consequences. I mean, those certainly not speak in any way lightly about them, but they're certainly things that are going to be very demanding on us and on our time. And I think, you know, one of you made the point, and it's a very important point for us, that we need to be, we really need to do a superb job in all of the natural resource committees. While our budgets are small, state general fund budgets in natural resources are small, the total natural resource budget, when we take all of the government or the federal government and when we take all of the fees and things are going, come into pretty substantial amounts of money. And every time that we don't protect the natural resource budgets, we jeopardize or threaten those outside sources of money, and so we and natural resources and water issue too must carry its fair share of the problem that we have in the state right now, a problem that we hope is far less temporary, but be that as it may, we certainly are obligated to carry our share of the load with that. But help me, as a committee, guarantee that we don't carry more than our fair share of the load of that because of the critical issue that we are dealing with. And in the long run, this committee may have the most critical issues that we have in the building. As already been pointed out, you can't live very long without water. One political commentator and analyst not too long ago made the statement that I found to be pretty profound. The wars of the 21st century in the world are going to be fought over water. Mm-hmm. So
not oil, water.
We can get by without oil.
Yep.
Representative Krupp is looking at one place where we can substitute some other things, as long as we have enough water to grow that crop.
That's right.
For oil. we've got all sorts of other energy potentials that, you know. But water, we have very, very limited potential with. And as we grow in population in the world, and there's a little likelihood that that's not going to continue, we can't increase the water supply like we can increase some of the others. At least we don't have the technology yet to do that. Because it takes 8 gallons of water to make 1 quart of milk. And of course the same goes with all of the other foodstuffs that we have. It doesn't matter whether you're milking the cow on the coast or whether you're milking the cow in eastern Oregon. It takes 8 gallons of water to make a quart of milk. At this point, I would like to also introduce our staff, Mike Riley and Pete Test. And Mike, would you grab a mic and tell us a little about yourself?
Mike, grab a mic.
Mr. Chair, my name is Mike Riley. I'm a committee assistant for the House Water Committee, obviously. I worked last session. I was the assistant for the House Agriculture and Forestry Committee with Representative Krupp. Felt like we had a very productive session and very much enjoyed and had a lot of respect for the process, and I'm happy to be back and look forward to good committee work and a good session. Thank you.
Thank you. And committee members, I think all of you know Pete, and I can't tell you how fortunate we are, I feel, we are to have Pete as our committee administrator. I think he probably has forgotten more about this topic than I ever knew or wanted to know. That which he has forgotten, I'm sure he will remember very quickly as we start to deal with those issues. So, Pete,
I hate to have that kind of an introduction, because the last 2 days of training to do this job has been not only vertical but straight up as far as the learning curve. Hopefully I will be able to help you with some of the issues involved in the legislation. It's just that I'm hoping I can continue to make sure you get coffee and you have a room to meet in. I did promise that I'd try to see if we can get moved down to this room permanently, but don't hold your breath. We will be in 357 from here on out unless you're otherwise notified. For those that don't know me, originally I was in education. I was an extension agent in Eastern Oregon and Nevada for almost 20 years before coming with the Farm Bureau, where I worked on water and natural resource issues for the last 8 years. Since leaving them, I'm here now, which makes a whole different, it's looking at the whole issues from the other side of the fence, and it should be real interesting for me. And if by chance I get out of line, make sure you kick me. I can handle it and keep me in line. Thank you. I hope to see a real productive session.
Thank you, Pete. And again, I am just absolutely ecstatic about having you as our committee staff person, because I know in my time here in the Water Committee, I have relied heavily on you for information. Probably haven't always agreed with you, but relied heavily on you for information and a person that I could trust for that information. So, for me, one kind of closing item for today's agenda to give you some sort of heads up on where we're going or what we're going to be doing in the next few days. For the next week and a half, we will be looking at OWEB, the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, which is by statute required to report annually, or not annually, biannually, to the legislature. They have a book, that, a report that they have prepared to bring to us. And I have asked them, and while I appreciate for some of the members it's redundant, but I've asked them to begin with a background on OWEB. I've asked them to kind of go back to day one, give us a historical sort of perspective on it, and bring us up to date in that respect. And then I've also asked them to prepare for members a list of the ORSs that deal with the responsibilities and obligations of the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. And I think they have that, and it will be relatively easy for them to do. But I think you'll find it much easier when you start looking for this, if you can go to that rather than if you have to go to the Orange Books or whatever they are to start digging through the ORSs. And, of course, the other thing that will be of interest to us will be any administrative rules that that they have. And then after the historical background, the presentation of the review of their assignment to report to us. And then following that, there are several other state agencies that are directly involved with OWEB and the Oregon Plan. And they will be coming in some order to bring us up to date on, you know, where they are and what they have been doing, so that the members of the committee have a pretty good idea of what our responsibilities there and our organization will be. The next thing that will be on the agenda will be for the Oregon Water Resources or Oregon Water Resource Department, to come in and give us a water law 101. Now, I know that in some of the training sessions that you all had, some of you may have attended a couple of those sessions, some of you, you know, may not have had the opportunity, but it would be the intention here that that they do a little more complete water law 101 for us, so that we kind of have some background, so that you don't have to dig through everything to figure out how this kind of all goes together and relates as we go through the session. I understand that if you're like I am when it gets to these things, that you probably won't remember a lot of it until the topic comes up in committee and you have a need to recall, and at least it'll be a place for you to go back to look at, to start to get, you know, be able to bring out or start to do research on whatever the topic is that we'd be dealing with. So with that, does anyone else have anything? Oh, and I'd also like to introduce to you my staff person, Kevin Christensen, back here, and understand that at any time you can't speak to the representative, that he happens not to be available. Kevin is working with me and will be following our activity very closely. Kevin is a graduate from that university across the street.
Great university, Mr. Chair. They've got some outstanding graduates.
They have. I have in fact, I have been privileged over the
I graduated from there.
No. Last 6 years to have encountered a number of their graduates with their strengths. And I found them to be very, very good. I left off part of that.
Yes, you did. I appreciate that, Mr. Chair.
Kevin graduated from the law school a couple of years ago there, and I'm really pleased to have him with his background. He happens, I think, to originally come from Bend. I'll ask you not to hold that against him. It really isn't Eastern Oregon, it really isn't Western Oregon. You know, I don't know exactly what it is in terms of that, but
not really that either.
But he will be available to talk to you about any of the issues on committee if I'm not on call for you at that time. So with that, unless someone else has any other agenda or any other items they'd like to share with the committee, we will stand adjourned.